Blog Talk Radio.
Cut the check.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you want to end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans, and greats. The 4 for 26, sort of war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five silly guys, diversified and educated.
Diversified and educated. What up, everybody? It's Thursday, October 6, 2011. We'd like to welcome you once again to another episode of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here at the War Room Roundtable with two of my fellow generals tonight, Jimmy Williams and B. Austin. Tonight, we're going to talk about the NBA lockout, MLB playoffs, and the week that was in the NFL. So get in the chat room and talk with us throughout the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. Or join us on Facebook or Twitter. And as usual, we want you to call in when we open up the Digital Extreme Technology Hotline and get your voice heard. That number, as always, is 323-410-0012. As usual, we like to say what's up to our fellas over at the Broad Street line. Check Roy and Chris every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Those guys always do a great job of bringing you the latest in Philly sports and national sports. So if you've been missing out, stop missing out. This is a movement here. But right now, time to move into these birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
What up, homies? Y'all ready to do this?
Yo, let's go.
You already know!
All right, and as usual, birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon in Fort Washington, Maryland. The first birthday, fellas, tonight is one Mr. Anthony Kevin Dungy. Tony Dungy turned 56 today. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Tony Dungy?
First, I think of the Tampa 2, one of the greatest defensive schemes ever. Then I think about Mormonry. I don't know why. Then I think about your man Gruden, who will be having sex with players on Monday Night Football. He owes that ring to Tony Dungy, that ring that he got, that Tony team.
Tony team. All right, Jimmy, Tony Dungy.
Yo, Tony Dungy did make an imprint with the Tampa 2, and I also agree that he was, I'm not going to say it's all his doing, but he had a lot to do with that championship won in Tampa. But also, he contributed a lot to the NFL in general. I'm one of these guys. I read his book. Well, I actually listened to the book. I don't know if you consider that reading. But anyway, so he's had an impact on a lot of different players, but he's an NFL legend at this point.
Yeah, Tony Dungy's a good guy. Like you said, I don't agree fully with Brad. I mean, a lot of that was his team. You know, the defense was his along with Monty Kiffin, but they just couldn't get over the hump. Tampa was pretty good every year, and they just couldn't get over that hump. Like PJ always say, like Luther's curl, he just couldn't. But Tony, he's a good guy. He mentors a lot of the players who get into trouble in the NFL now. And Rodney Harrison's always going at him on the Sunday night show. I don't know
Yo,
why, but Rodney Harrison,
he needs a hug, man.
Yeah, he's
Yo,
angry
man
dude.
Is angry.
But, all right, so the next birthday we got today is one Rebecca Rose Lobo Russian. Rebecca Lobo turns 38 today.
Yay!
Jimmy, what is your recollection of Rebecca Lobo?
Yo, Rebecca Lobo, the big John that played Who's the Show. I didn't realize her name was that long. What's wrong with Rose Lobo Russian? Is that a married name?
I guess Russian is her married name. I guess.
But she wanted to keep the Lobo as though she was that, you know, made that significant an impact that you need to keep your. Anyway, you know. Big John that played Hoops, she was dominant, you know, when she played, but, you know, it is what it is. She played female
basketball. Yeah, she was one who was very dominant in college, you know, had a lot of the hype coming into the pro league, you know, because she was around when the WNBA first started. But she was like the Bill Walton, I guess, of the ladies league because she was always injured. So her career never really got to where it was supposed to be because of the injury.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That was a big chick, though. I just remember her being, like, not like, and, yo, just, like, you know how some people are just big. Not, like, fat, but she was, like tall and just, like, thick. Like,
and,
that was a
like
big
thick,
chick,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah.
She like Mount Fiji. Sound
like, sound like you want to climb that mountain, bro.
Mount
no,
Lobo.
But she remind me of Mount Fiji off the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, yo.
Well, Rebecca was definitely nice. She was recruited by more than 100 colleges before choosing UConn. So, yeah, that tells you about how nice she was. Collegiate Woman Athlete of the Year in 94-95. Professionally, as Devin alluded to, she started her career off by tearing her anterior cruciate ligament 2 seasons in, and then tore her meniscus the first game of the next season. So yeah, she was always often injured. And you're right, she changed her name after marrying Sports Illustrated writer Steve Rushen.
So, I'm not really familiar with his body of work. What do you write about WNBA?
Yeah, he focused on his wife. She was a one-time All-Star, one-time second team. So yeah, she didn't do much once she got to the professional ranks. But she was one of those bigs that could step out. She could hit the three. She had tray ball range, so she kind of opened it up for the ladies. I don't like how that sounded, so I keep moving.
She opened it up for the ladies, huh? All right, so the next birthday we got here is one Mr. Jarrell. I thought it was one Jarrell in the whole world. Jarrell Jamal, better known as JJ Stokes, turns 39 today.
Yay!
D. Austin, what do you remember about JJ Stokes? Jarrell.
He came in with a lot of hype and went out with not much acclaim. He was from UCLA, played most of his career with the Niners, played 1 year with the Jaguars, well, half a season with the Jaguars, and then got booted to the Patriots, and, you know, that was kind of the end of that.
My recollection of him, his claim to fame is getting his face spit on by Romanowski.
Yo, I knew, yo, you stole my thunder. I knew you was going to bring that up because that's what I was going to say. My recollection is he's a punk because he let the boys spit in his face and they ain't do nothing about it but cried about it afterwards.
He said, my recollection is dude is a punk. Yo, that's messed
up.
Yeah,
he was supposed to take over for Jerry, but he didn't take over for anyone.
Well, yeah, he was supposed to. He had a fairly decent rookie year, but then he get hurt or something, and that's when T.O. emerged on the scene.
Yeah.
And took all his thunder. And
he got hurt a few times, and
yeah.
Romanowski spitting on him and raising his skirt, I guess, showed what he was. I don't know.
All right, so the last birthday
of the day. When someone spits on you,
yeah,
you got to get ejected from that game, yo.
Yeah, I'd have tried to rip his face mask off. Like,
yo, hold on. From, yo, in 1999, Football Outsiders called Stokes the league's least valuable receiver.
Damn.
That's
messed
total
up.
Total disrespect.
All right, so the last birthday of the day is one Mr. Albert Ray Lewis. He turns 51
Yay!
Today. Anybody remember anything about Albert Lewis?
All
Albert
I know
Lewis.
Is when I saw this in the show notes, I got excited, and then I realized it wasn't Ray Lewis. So
like, damn,
you know,
like Ray ain't
like,
that old. Ain't that
yeah, I was
old.
Like, yo, Ray, damn, Ray older than him. Only thing I know about Albert Lewis is he played at Grambling. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, he played at Grambling. No, but we're gonna spend a little time on Albert. He was drafted in 83. And he was a 4-time Pro Bowler, ended his career with 42 interceptions, 12.5 sacks, and 1 touchdown. And what I remember about Albert was that he was one of the first corners to take Kung Fu so that he could beat you up in the line.
I heard he ran like a 4.38 at one point in his career.
Yeah, and he was a track guy. He was a fast 100-meter runner in college.
Yeah, well, he ain't the Ray Lewis that we like to talk about, so that's about it for dude.
He's a whack Ray Lewis.
He's a fake Ray Lewis, Albert Ray. So that's it for the birthdays today. Jimmy, why don't you let everybody know what happened while they were on the line?
Absolutely. Why You on the Grind is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. You can check their website out at phillyautodesign.com and, you know, get your rim game done. First story I want to bring up. First off, I want to send a rest in peace shout out to one Steve Jobs because this first story, you know, kind of brings him up a little bit. Michael Orr, everybody knows who Michael Orr is, Blindside, right? Did you guys hear about him saying on a tweet last night, basically saying, who is Steve Jobs and why is everybody tweeting about him?
Hey, my man. Right on. That means he was probably doing that from like a BlackBerry or something.
No, but here's the thing. He did it from an iPhone.
Oh, word? Oh, come
that's
on.
What makes the story, that's what makes the story that much funnier.
Yo, he tweeted from an iPhone saying, who the hell is Steve Jobs?
Yeah, why is everybody talking about Steve Jobs and who is he? Like, you know, so to bring that story up.
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because I have no idea who's, you know, like the leader of the company that makes most of the stuff in my house. But I don't know. You kind of got to be under a rock somewhere if you didn't know who Steve Jobs was.
But what made that funny was just the fact that he did it from an iPhone. It says sent from an iPhone. That's what made that story funny. Austin, you got any thoughts on this?
No, I don't want to play my man Blindside out.
I respect that. I respect that. Let's see what you guys think about this story. ESPN has fired Hank Williams Jr. from Monday Night Football. You know, he sings the opening song, Are You Ready for Some Football? You know, I think the song's played out anyway. But he had a comment. After reading hundreds of emails, I have made my decision by pulling my opening October 3rd. You, meaning ESPN, stepped on the toes of the First Amendment, freedom of speech, so therefore me, my song, and all my rowdy friends are out of here, and it's been a great run. So that's what you know, he had to say. But ESPN pretty much told enough OH after the comments. I want to get you guys' opinion on this.
That's the funny thing, because both of them put out a statement, so they're both trying to make it look like they ended the relationship. So who knows who's telling the truth? Probably ESPN, because, you know, in these type of situations lately, you see that these companies are getting pressured into snatching endorsements and make, you know, firing people from their contracts because they choose to speak their mind. I mean, I could see if dude was on ESPN talking about his political views, but he was on Fox and Friends. I mean, if they're asking you questions, I mean, I don't understand why dude can't speak about what he wanted to speak about, but that's just me, man. It seems like the what's-the-name situation all over again, the whole Rashard Mendenhump situation.
Austin, what are your thoughts?
I think the entire world, lemmings, black protectionists, and just politically correct folks in general are too damn soft. I mean, the reason that they fired him is they're claiming he was insensitive. And so you've got two factions of people that are going to be up in arms. You've got black people that are going to say, well, he's talking about President Obama. And you've got our Jewish community who's going to say it's foul to ever bring up Hitler's name. I don't care. I mean, it's his right to spew forth. What does that have to do with the song that I actually love and I don't think is played out? Now I can't hear all my rowdy friends on Monday. I got a problem.
Well,
I grew up with that.
Most people in this country are either Democrats or Republicans. So whatever side of the aisle they're on, they're going to say negative things about the other side. So it's like, why do you
need
your job?
Well, here's my opinion. It kind of differs a little bit from what you're saying. And my opinion is basically, this is a free country. You have the right to say what you want. But with that being said, I feel as though you have to be able to deal with the consequences of what you're saying. Meaning that, you know, when you sign that contract with ESPN that you want to get paid X amount of dollars if we use your material, you have to know what comes. I mean, not that you're no longer free, but you have to understand that this company has its own sponsors and everything to take care of. So, you know,
you have to
be able to deal with what comes with it. So that's my only thing.
The First Amendment really only counts as a citizen, but once you're inside of somebody else's corporation, those laws no longer apply. Like,
if that's what they want to do as a private entity,
they can do it. My whole issue is I just think that all these companies are getting soft, like firing people for stupid reasons. And you know everybody who's black.
I think that's why, like, to me, which is what is interesting is it's sort of like people like, say, a Howard Stern or a Charles Barkley, they have these personas that companies know from the gate what they're dealing with when they deal with them. It's one thing you try to portray one image, and this is not who you are. Like, Charles Barkley's sponsors know that he's going to say crazy stuff. So he kind of set it up perfect because, you know what I mean, like guys like Shaq or, you know, people that just say crazy stuff, they kind of set it up where their sponsors know that, yo, this is what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, Chuck was like, look, I've been like this ever since y'all know me, so don't try to, you know, be all like that now. But
kind of what they,
you know,
say
all the
for,
black people cry racism. That's the part that I don't understand. I don't understand what part of that was racist. And, you know, I actually did a little PTR on that, so I'll continue what I got to say then.
Yeah. But he also offended Jewish people, and that never works out well.
Yeah.
With that being said, let's move on to the Dev said it, not me. Send him the hate mail. Yo, let's move on to the next topic. Let's about, you know, the NWO, a.k.a. the Big Three of the Miami Heat. They're having, you know, one of their games down. You know how they've been traveling the country, having all these exhibition games the NBA players have. But they're having one in Miami. And these guys, of course, they want to take us to the next level. So they went and got their game to be televised locally on CBS. This game will include Mario Chalmers, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Marty Stoudemire, Chris Paul. You know, a lot of all-stars, John Wall. But these guys are basically saying, you know, we're the heels and ours is being televised while yours is not. So any thoughts on the Big Three? I want to give Austin a chance, you know, since it's not no basketball season. I don't even want to say something about LeBron.
I think it's a great idea, and I think it kind of speaks to some of what money-making Mitch was saying. Shout out to Mitch Butler, friend of the show, super agent to be. I think it kind of speaks to what he was saying. They're kind of taking control of their own destiny, understanding the strength of their brand, and understanding that people do want to see them play independent of the politics and bureaucracy that is the NBA. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, at the end of the game, they just know not to give LeBron the ball.
At the same time, though, with all the other ones that they're doing around the country, they could have probably, you know, tried to help get that televised in some way. But, you know, with all the fanfare and the love and hate for the Big Three of the Heatles, you know, they had to make a little more of a spectacle out of theirs than everybody else did. But, hey,
of
like
course.
You said, it's a good
thing. I ain't mad at
them. Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. I ain't mad at them. Let them do what they got to do. But,
Of course, of course. Okay.
I mean, I don't know whether any of this is going to help his post game. If it ain't helping his post game,
you know how in the war room we always talk about athletes and their use of social media and always getting into trouble. But how about this one right here? You guys heard about Larry Fitzgerald. This is Cancer Awareness Month. So he already has decided to donate $1,000 per catch and $10,000 per touchdown for this month. But he decided to start a new campaign with his Twitter account. He started from yesterday. He had about 935,210 followers. He says for every follower after that, for the rest of the month, he'll donate, 10 cents towards cancer research. This is how his mother has passed. And, you know, within hours, he already had, made a couple $100 pretty much to donate towards research. And he's catching steam and people are following him. And, you know, this is his way of giving back. So what's your guys' opinion on this use of social media?
That's cool because, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, until we learn otherwise, is known as one of the good guys. And he's actually come up with a pretty interesting way to donate to a charity. And, you know, he's using social media where everybody else uses social media to just get themselves into trouble with the things they say and the things they do. So, you know, I'm going to give props to Larry Fitzgerald. He's probably going to tell Kevin Cobb to lay off, you know, passing him the ball so much this month. But but it's still a good thing to do.
Awesome.
I'm like, not every play, dog.
I mess with Larry for that. I think that, you know, in a time when we've got plenty to point to. We got plenty to point to. What these mongooks are not doing, or negatives that they're using social media for. It's nice to see him take it and use it for a positive. Man, I can't say much more than kudos to Larry Fitz. Work on your 40
yeah, it's
time.
It's funny how when you hear these stories, it makes you like a player better. I was arguing with someone. We were talking about, you know, the whole Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, because it seems to be those are the three top guys in terms of receiver. But once I read the story, I was like, no, he the best. You know, you hear it talking about
like, it depends on what's going on that particular day.
Yeah, it depends upon what's going on.
Andre Johnson,
get
his charity weight up.
Get your charity weight up. Shout out to you, Andre, and Megatron. Get your charity game up. Last story I want to talk about. I like finding crazy sports stories, and this one was kind of crazy. Ohio, you know, high school football is huge. But listen to this one. A high school player, he didn't even get any time in this game. But what he decided to do at the end of the game, you know how you at the end of every game you go and you shake the opponent's hand?
Yeah.
This guy put tacks in his glove.
Oh.
So he walked across the 50-yard line, and he started giving out handshakes and was cutting the other player.
Yeah.
And, you know, cats gave him a handshake and realized, like, yo, what's going on? And they looked at their hands, and they were bleeding. And, you know, he ended up getting arrested. He did it as a prank. He thought it was a prank.
You know that was funny?
Yeah.
Yo, arrested. Yo, the cops should have just let him loose in the other team's locker room.
Yo,
why
like
would
small,
you do that?
It was a small tack. It wasn't like a nail, it was a small tack. So it like it cut people, but they like felt a pinch. But you know, after a while, they all started looking and noticed they were bleeding.
I'd have went down to the jail to whoop his ass. Like,
yo, I'd have filled his face with knuckles.
Yo,
that's
because
officials.
Listen to this one. Officials said 27 football players had their hands punctured after they congratulated the winning team. They felt the pain of it when it occurred, and they thought they had hit a nerve or something. Some of them immediately looked at their hands and saw butt.
What is
wrong
with cats?
I guarantee this guy didn't even get in the game. In his life.
Yeah, I'm appalled. Like, was that a prank? Like, one of those, I'm a little upset because I don't get any burn, so I need something to entertain myself type pranks? Like, I don't get that.
And all 27 of them kids had to go get tetanus shots.
Yeah.
You know, basically the cops are involved now. And, you know, you hear about these high school games and you know, it's just
where
crazy.
Do you
but this
see,
guy,
so where do you see dude in 10 years?
Where he was this weekend?
The FBI might be looking for him. He might be an unsub who, you know, they're trying to profile and find because he killed 10 women.
He's probably one of them dudes, the type of dudes that put needles in phone booth coin slots or something. I mean, it's kind of your bad if you're still using phone booth, but you still shouldn't get your coin back. That's crazy.
Yo, anyway, that's what happened while you were on the grind.
If you go in a phone booth, if you go in a phone booth to do anything but change into a blue suit with a red cape, you're a poodle.
All right, man. It's time to pass the rock because these boys in Ohio is crazy. Tetanus shots. They should have been able to line up and give dude a kill shot. But I'm going to move on. We're going to pass the rock real quick. And since I'm the point guard of the bunch, the little 3-on-3, I'm going to check it up and start the play for us tonight.
Tell them why you mad, son.
All right, so we just spoke about it briefly, but as you all may have heard by now, country singer Hank Williams Jr. has lost his job doing the theme music for Monday Night Football for saying on Fox and Friends that Republican Representative John Boehner and President Barack Obama playing golf together was like Adolf Hitler playing golf with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. First, let me say this. I cannot possibly care less about a country hick Bama loser dude such as Hank Williams Jr. However, I'm a little tired of seeing so many people getting fired, losing endorsements, or whatever else for verbalizing their political opinions. I also have a problem with all the black people who choose to play the race card on every situation surrounding President Obama. Yes, there is no doubt, you know, that the prez gets a ton of race-related hatred thrown in his direction, but can we begin to differentiate what is racist and what is not instead of throwing everything into one basket? Exactly what part of those comments were the racist parts? Is it racist to compare Obama to Hitler, even though he never really specified who was Hitler in that particular scenario? And if so, what racial connotation does it reference? personally, I've seen every president in my lifetime be compared to Hitler, either verbally or through photos. That's just the other side of the aisle when they dislike a current, you know, the current state of the country. That's just what they do. So it's like the most stinging political analogy people can find, so they use it. If you don't believe me, Google it right quick. A myriad of photos and stories depicting Obama, Clinton, both Bushes, Reagan, etc. as Hitler right at your fingertips. Trust me, I did it. You do it. Don't believe me. Just go ahead and Google it. I basically chalk Hank Williams Jr.'s comments up to stupidity, not racism. He could very well be the biggest racist on the planet, but nothing about those particular comments would be the trigger for that particular revelation. We need to remain consistent, people. Comments like this cannot all of a sudden become this massive deal just because you happen to care about the person in office. If you care, then care all the time. This quote-unquote us-against-them mentality is why this country is so messed up now. And I'm in no way talking about race relations right now. I'm talking about the party system in our government. Not many Democrats gave a damn when they were slaying Bush in public, you know, putting his photo up next to monkeys, making documentaries clowning him while he was still in office, you know, going on TV talking about how stupid the man is, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? And right now, there's no Republicans out there who give a William Allen Shatner about what we're discussing right now. All we're doing is adding to the divisive nature of our politics and our country. And what good is that? I'll get off my soapbox right now and go giggle at some Bush pics comparing them to monkeys because it's funny when they do it to Bush. Not so much when it's Obama, though. Yeah, I'm being a little facetious. Assuming that I just lost all of our sponsors for speaking my mind on this issue, I'm going to go ahead and pass the rock to my brother Jimmy for his last PTR ever, considering we won't be able to afford to run our business from this day forth. So, Jimmy, go ahead and run with that rock, yeah?
All I want to know is, in the words of Data, is why did Bush knock down the towers?
Whoa! Shout out to D Block.
Yo, this is War Room Jimmy, aka the King of Sports Entertainment. And this week, I'll be brief, but I just want to tell the NFL to do me a favor and stop putting the Colts on national TV without Peyton Manning. Now, listen, I know these games were previously scheduled, but make an exception and change the schedule, please, because no one wants to see Curtis play quarterback on national television. The Colts without Manning is like Katrina with no FEMA or Martin with no Gina. It's like, no. But seriously, the Colts without Peyton Manning is like the Blue Notes without Harold Melvin, or Public Announcement without R. Kelly, Leaders of the New School without Busta Rhymes, Kathy Lee on TV without Regis, NSYNC without Justin Timberlake, Simpson with no Ashford, RIP to Ashford. And last but not least, it's like watching an Apple announcement without Steve Jobs. Rest in peace, homie. At this time, you probably get my point, but can the NFL do me a favor and please cut it out? I mean, we're in week four, and it seems as though the Colts have played in a national game for at least 3 out of the 4 weeks, and I'm just sick and tired of it. You know what? I got nothing more to say. Just do me that favor, please. I'm nice. And with that, I'm just going to hand a rock over to my brother B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Go to work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, man, I can't front. It's kind of hard to watch, but I think that what they're doing is they're getting Peyton ready for his next MVP at the end of this season because he's definitely showing his value.
The first player to win MVP without actually stepping foot on the field.
Yep, there it is. You have it. Now, if any basketball fans have been following the lockout and the collective bargaining negotiations closely, Tuesday was probably a day when you said, what's going on? At long last, they were making some headway. Movements were being made. Offers were being tossed out. And what was that? Your man, David Stern, came to the microphone and confidently announced that he would have been able to convince the owners to accept taking 50% of basketball revenues and income. Long had that been thought to be the magic number, a fair 50-50 split. Alas, Union Executive Director Billy Hunter said, no, we're not interested. Back up, We're not taking it. We're not going to stand for it. So what is the media to think? What are we, the fans, to think? I'm gonna be real with you guys. There are three possibilities of what could happen next. This could just be a little, you know, bump in the road, and we'll get back to negotiating, and guys will come together and understand that. Oh, by the way, 1% of basketball revenue based on last year's income equals $40 million. $40 million. Now, right now, the players get 57% of that, or under the most recent collective bargaining agreement, I think they're willing to go down to about 53. The owners are trying to get it down to somewhere like 46%, which is comparable to what the NFL gives its players. The happy medium would really be 50-50, and it would keep the NBA Players Association at the top of the food chain in terms of revenue sharing amongst professional sports associations and leagues. Whose fault is this? I don't know. You can spread the blame around. You can spread it around. The players are looking for more than what I think is fair, and the owners are really asking the players to protect them from themselves. This could get ugly. They could walk away, and the owners could say, I want the players to suffer for what's going on here. I hope not, but stay tuned, and as the months drag on, oh yeah, it's going to take months, we'll revisit the issue. With that, I catch the oop thrown from Jimmy, and I gorilla monkey dunk slam this thing.
And the crowd goes wild. Yeah, those labor negotiations might get Tyrone Hill on everybody. But I'm going to tell y'all how to get in contact with us, people. Check out our website at boardroomsports.com while you're there. Sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter, right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. While you're still on the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy cool War Room Sports merchandise. Click the Blog tab to read the greatest sports blog in the world. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at WarRoomSportsTV.com for access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime. Download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@WarRoomSports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get in the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can just sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show, so to call in and speak with us personally, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And who knows? If you're a good enough student, the War Room professors just might call on you. So it looks like the chat room is a little bit dead at this moment.
Yeah, I know on our Facebook page, Patrick Wang, he came out of nowhere talking about Art Monk is better than Michael Irvin. I don't know where that came from, but I just responded to him, and I told him basically that Rod Tidwell is better than both of them.
Oh, yeah. Rod the God is that dude. All right, so we can get back into a few NBA topics since Austin just left off there. We reported this last week that it was, you know, coming close, and we all gave our opinions that he probably shouldn't do it, but they have a verbal agreement. It looks like Kobe might indeed be going to Italy. Now, the deal will be for $3 million for 10 games and 40 days. So 40 days worth of work, because I'm pretty sure they're going to be practicing every day. So 40 days worth of work, $3 million. Does anybody change? Because that deal went up like 500K. So does any of your sentiments change from last week? Do y'all think Kobe should be doing this?
Nah, my sentiments don't change because in the grand scheme of things, with his net worth, what's $500,000? I mean, I think really what he's doing is leveraging the fact that he can get paid to go and do what it is that he loves to do, which is compete on the basketball court.
Yeah,
now,
I think he should probably get the rest, but at the same time, if he's looking at this as a, you know, just a workout, which he probably is, then, you know, it's not. I don't know. I have two different opinions about it, but obviously they're more in the know than we are. They must know that there's going to be no league this year, so I mean, he has to stay in shape somehow.
I mean, well, he's only gone over there for 4 years.
You know what? You know what's funny, though, Jimmy? Based on what I'm hearing, and we'll touch on this later, the sides are actually not too far apart. I think
like
that really what it's going to boil down to.
They're like 80 million apart now.
Yeah,
which
I think
is not bad considering they started at like 8 billion.
It's the attitudes. It's the attitudes and whether or not people want to put their pride to the side because don't get it twisted. It's not just the owners. There's a faction of players, including Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett, that are very, very indignant in their, you know, in their negotiations. So it could get it's about personalities now more so than the numbers. But back to Kobe, I would have gone to China if I was him.
Well, it's a different deal in China though. China is not allowing anybody to come over there for a portion of the season. If you sign with China, you have to stay for the whole, you know.
Yeah, they're not letting you just run ruckshot through their league. They're like, yo, you come here, you got to be here.
So where you may be able to get a better deal in China, China's not just – they're like, look, we're not just looking for a little bit of NBA fame right now. If y'all want to play, we're trying to win some games.
I think they'd have made an exception
for
him.
China wants a ring.
They were telling J.R. Smith that because he's J.R.
So you think
I don't think
they would make an exception.
No, China wants a ring, and Italy is going to let Kobe come hit real quick and bounce. That's the difference.
Difference between a European woman and a Chinese woman? Never.
No, you can tell that that's the case, though, because in Italy, they're trying to reschedule a lot of the league schedule to try to get the better teams to play against Kobe's team in those 40 days while he's over there. So this is nothing but a publicity stunt for them. They're trying to get extra dough. China's over there, like you said, in more ways than one. They're trying to get a ring, you know what I'm saying? So they're not going for that kind of thing. I mean, speaking of this, Tony Parker is also – he's going to play in his native land of France. But the thing with him, he's going to play for just under $2,000 a month, which is basically going to make him the worst paid NBA transplant out there.
He's a vice president of the league.
There you go. He's a vice president. Is it the league or
he has
the team?
Ownership. He has ownership interests.
Yeah.
Yo,
no doubt. I was
it's
saying
official
I was,
that I
yo,
make more than
hell?
Tony Parker.
Y'all got
now.
Somebody on the lines that we don't know about? We didn't let any of the listening callers on or nothing, did we? Because we keep
hearing
no,
they don't want to. It sounds.
Okay.
What's the sound bad or something?
No, I keep hearing like somebody dialing a phone or something. So I thought maybe somebody
knows?
Got let on the lines by mistake.
Well, no, that's probably the Illuminati. That's the Illuminati. But yo, I officially make more than Tony Parker, so shout out to me for that. But if he has ownership, though, that's a whole different ballgame. See, I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah, I was trying to set it up for the shock value, but B. Austin kind of just jumped in there and messed it up. But it's all good.
No doubt. we always keep him informed with the truth.
Yeah, I mean, the truth was coming. It was coming. But yeah, he does have like part ownership. You said it's the league, though, Austin. I thought maybe it was the team.
What
it's one of them. He has part ownership in something, so his salary isn't really commensurate with what he's doing in the larger scheme of things. So basically, his whole thing is a publicity thing as well. He's trying to make some money for the team and or the league, so he's gonna go in there play for, you know, blue collar wages, and hopefully he don't get hurt.
You mean to tell me my man Zeke made more than Tony Parker? Never mind.
Hey, Tony sets his own pay scale, though. Speaking of the lockout and the meetings and the situations, did you guys hear about Dwayne Wade and Commissioner Stern having a few words? Basically, D. Wade screamed at him because during something that the commissioner was saying, he pointed at D. Wade. So D. Wade screamed across the table, "Don't point your finger at me. I'm not a child." And
damn.
It kind of, yeah, it was to the point, the animosity was to a point where they actually had to take a recess from the proceedings for a little while, and the proceedings for the rest of the day were actually in jeopardy because, you know, it was getting that heated in there. So, what's it going to be like when he finally has to hand that MVP trophy to D-Wade or that All-Star MVP trophy to D-Wade? Y'all think they might scrap right up on stage?
I think they should.
I got David Stern winning. You got Damn. I got David Stern having a lot of bodyguards. So, I mean, if he has to win it,
that's why I got him winning.
But here's a little statement from Brad's boy, the president, Derek Fisher. He said, "There are times, speaking of the meetings, when it's contentious. Guys are very passionate about their opinions. There are also times you really talk and show the type of professional respect. When you have as much at stake as we all do, you have to expect some ups and downs within the meetings." So he's basically trying to, you know, shove it off to the side, saying this is normal. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars here, so guys are going to get angry, guys are going to get heated. But this didn't even seem like it had anything to do with the actual meeting and the money and everything. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a byproduct, but he just seemed like D-Wade just got a little upset because he felt like he was being disrespected.
Yo, shout out to D-Wade for even being at the meeting, though.
Yeah. That's what we didn't expect. We remember we talked about that last week, how, you know, Derek Fisher became the president because a lot of the superstars in the league probably don't even show up half the time. But I heard at this particular meeting, a lot of the superstars
Everybody was
were
there.
Yeah, the big three were sitting together at the table.
Oh, you know, God. As long as Chris Bosh doesn't show up on Law and Order no more, because he like ruined my TV show. Although, real quick, him and Carmelo were on Law and Order. They were actually playing basketball players, believe it or not. But yo, here's the funny thing. Carmelo was horrible. Like he didn't look believable at all. But Chris Bosh wasn't that bad of an actor. Like he was kind of believable, but then again, he acts like a man. Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe it's because he acts like he's a heterosexual all day long, so therefore, you know, acting is not difficult for him. But, you know, just stay off of Law and Order, man. That's my TV show. I don't want to see it. I want to see my basketball players play basketball, you know what I mean? And I want to see, you know, my Law and Order. Like, this lockout is affecting too many things for me right now. They need to get to work.
I know. They all up on stuff. You don't need to see them.
Exactly.
All right, so basically, you know, at the last few meetings, the report is that no progress is being made at these labor negotiations, which, like what Austin was saying earlier, I don't know if that's entirely true because they don't seem to be as far apart as they once were. And that number that the players were kind of instructed not to go beneath was 52%. But, Austin, you were saying in your PTR, you think the owner's offering them 46% is a fair deal?
Yeah, I think that the NBA, the NBA Players Association is the strongest players association in the world by far. And under the last collective bargaining agreement, they've had the most lucrative CBA in sports history. You know, well, you know what? I won't say that. I won't say it's the most lucrative in league history because baseball is uncapped, but I do believe that they have the strongest players association. I do believe that. And
but
so,
I'm kind of what you said earlier. I think it probably should fall somewhere in the 50-50 range. I don't know if 46, not to just totally say it's unfair, but at the same time, you have to look at it relatively speaking because they're asking them to go down to 46 from 57. So
right.
Had they not, you know, started out, had they not you know, made this terrible precedence of the percentage that they are giving the players from the revenue, then it wouldn't be as hard to ask them to come down so far. But 57-46, that's they're not going for that.
You make a great point. You make a great point because, and believe me, I'm not that type of drop represents $440 million a year. So, you know, that's a major change. And I'm not anti-player because I think that the owners, on the other hand, are foolish for allowing something like that to happen. So really what they're doing now is going back and, as I stated earlier, asking the players to protect the owners from the owners. So it's kind of like, you know, they gave up that spot. You gave it up, so why should we come back down? But then by the same token, the product is suffering and the fan is suffering. So
I'm definitely in favor of it coming down a bit. I just know that they're not going to agree to that big of a drop. I would say, like you said earlier, something like 50-50 will probably be better because what that does, it lowers the salaries of some of the people who are making money that they really don't deserve to make. And it also gets some of these bums out of the league. I mean, not even the Joe Johnsons. We all know his contract was ridiculous for, you know, what kind of superstar he is, because even though he's a very good all-around player, getting a max deal still has to come with some star power. So I think he's a great player, but I don't think he has the star power to be a max player. But not even the Joe Johnsons. You know, we always use, like, the Samuel Dallenberg references. He makes $67 million in a contract, and dude averages single digits. Like, that's...
You got to feed the whole country, though, man. My whole thing is, I agree with what Brad said. Like, they're trying to get them to cover for their own mistake. And you know for a fact it's not going to be 50-50. If anything, it'll be 51-49. Somebody has to have
the actual offer that was taken to the players, it was publicized as 50-50, but one of my inside sources who's, you know, standing on the top of the ceiling as they negotiate said that it's actually... The offer was 49-51 with some hurdles put in that if the league met certain revenue hurdles, the players could earn up to 53%. And they didn't want the smoke and mirrors. They just wanted a straight deal.
They just wanted a straight-up deal.
They just want a straight deal.
They want a straight cash.
And you know why? You know why? Because they probably figure they've already tried it once. Like, even if they get that portion of the deal where we get our extra, the NBA is probably going to lie about what they made anyway.
so how are we really going to know? And there's been some talk from Billy Hunter's office and y'all homie the point guard from the Lakers. There's been some talk that at the end of this collective bargaining agreement, if they accept 50-50, there's a chance that the ownership will then come back at the end and try and negotiate that down at the end of this collective bargaining agreement. But they don't want
to
start off.
They have to think long term, basically. They can't think about just this deal. It's about the next deal as well.
Right. So, you know, they have some foresight. There's a group of agents also. This is very important. There's a group of agents that was being led by Arn Tellem and Leon Rose that were talking decertification, and they were trying to lead sort of a separate faction of players or gain some momentum to decertify the union, and a lot of the players were very angry about that. I know Richard Hamilton was very angry, Ben Gordon was angry, Chauncey was angry, you know, so there was some talk there, some rumblings internal. So not only are the owners
– angry because of the itch, the way it is.
But hold on, though. Break down what that would allow them to do. Like, why were they angry? And on the other side, why were the agents trying to get them to do so?
Well, the agents were trying to get them to decertify for the same reason that the NFL. Union decertified. It would give them some more maneuvering room in terms of taking it to the court. But the problem taking it to the courts is, you know, you're talking about losing $100 million, you know, in negotiating, let's say 2% or 3% represents $120 million. But if you go the legal route and you take it to the open courts, hell, legal fees could be $120 million.
Not even just the fees. Just the going the legal route takes a whole lot more time also. And they're already, we're already in October. We're supposed to be in training camp right now. So if you go ahead and get certified, not only are you, you know, you have to deal with the legal fees, but you might be unnecessarily pushing the season back or, you know, potentially just losing the whole season, not because a deal couldn't get done, it's because you chose to do it in a way that takes more time when they could be at the table negotiating. And so they said it's supposed to be, it might be plans of another meeting sometime this weekend, so I guess we'll find that out if it actually happens.
I know it went away. I know it kind of went away as a piece of the negotiation. But how do y'all feel about a hard cap versus a soft cap? Pause.
Well, before I speak my opinion on it, you know, the players are basically against it. But that's another thing. Remember last week we spoke about Derek Fisher was saying that he thinks the owners are divided, not that the owners don't all want the change in the type of cap, but they're not all willing to miss out on a season's worth of revenue just to change it. So I don't know. It's a little difficult for me because in basketball, with the way that the cap is, there's just, you know, once you hit that salary cap ceiling, there's so many loopholes and ways around it. Maybe it does.
Right, but it's a soft cap now with the luxury tax. So what they're saying is take that away. It's a hard cap.
Make
and
it
anytime
straight
you
up.
Go, anytime you go above it, you're not obligated to pay that player.
Right.
So
I can see why the players wouldn't want that. But, you know, for me, I don't know. The cap at this point doesn't really matter. I just, you know, need them to get something done. It's not. It doesn't seem dire though. What's the read that you guys are getting from the fans? It doesn't seem like NFL where people's like, "Yo, they gotta get this done." Like, it doesn't seem like people
NBA,
are clamoring for basketball like that.
The NBA has lost. The NBA has lost a lot of steam, and that's. I mean, you guys have talked about it on the show. Both you and Jimmy and PJ, even Akil, have touched on the fact that the product is a little subpar. And they don't tap into the storylines the way that they do in the NFL. So it's kind of alienated the fan. And let's be frank here. The money spenders in this country fall into a certain demographic. And while David Stern is trying to reach them, I think he realizes he's lost a certain amount. And that's why we're not seeing people that, you know, angry or tied up. Plus, it's time. You know, we haven't lost any games. So
exactly. And also, football is going on now. So,
right.
I mean, the baseball playoffs are going on, and people still are not even really talking about that. When I'm online every day, I mean, you know, all you hear is football, football. Football does a great job of selling their sport. It's like a male soap opera. The games happen once a week, and during the course of the week is you know, the tail leading up to the next, you know, next event. So, with football going on, you really won't hear it. And like Austin said, there's no games that have been missed at this point. Once football's going and games are being missed, oh, yeah, then it's going to be a problem.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're at a point where they say if something isn't done by Monday, then we're going to start chopping into the regular season. We're already at a point now where the whole preseason has been canceled. So
Monday.
Which is not
first,
a bad thing for me because – when's the last time you guys watched preseason basketball? like when does that happen? But so supposedly, because they did say the same thing last week. They said if anything wasn't done by this Monday, they would start chomping into the season. So I mean, maybe that was the threat, and maybe this one is the real deal. But if anybody wants to talk about this or anything else, we're about to get into the baseball playoffs real quick. You can give us a call at 323-410-0012. Press 1 to talk, and we'll try to get to you. What's up?
It affects the Pan-American Games. Now instead of taking NBA players, they're taking D-League players.
They're heroes. Last time you watched that. All right, but let's.
I watch this all the time.
I know you like Mr. International Basketball. I know. We always get information from you about like Team USA and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, you do be sitting around watching some both. But. All right, so the MLB playoffs are heating up, and we have 3 game fives. One going on immediately after the show: the Yankees and the Tigers. Tomorrow night we got game 5 of the Phillies and the Cardinals, and tomorrow we also have game 5 of the Diamondbacks and the Brewers. The only team that was disposed of real quick is our homie Willie Garland's Tampa Bay Rays.
The bad thing about that, though,
everybody on the show picked them to win because of the way they got into the playoffs. We started throwing around that team of destiny type thing.
I didn't think they were a team of destiny as far as
winning the whole thing, but I thought, you know, they were going to shock the Rangers, but they didn't shock
anybody. I want to blame Willie for this because he, like, you know, hyped up his team. So, Willie, it's personally your fault that your team stinks.
Yeah, I always hype his team up around playoff time. It's the only time he watches his team.
Ooh,
call
in,
Willie.
Defend yourself. Call in. But, So, has anything stood out to you in any of these series, Jim?
Just the fact that the Cardinals won't die, yo. Cardinals need to die. And also, it's nothing like playoff baseball, I tell you that. That's the one thing I want to talk about. Forget the individual games, individual matchups. Playoff baseball is amazing. Like, I was on the edge of my seat at the end of every game watching the Phillies. Like, it's unbelievable. I can't watch it. Sometimes I got to, like, walk out the room, yo. Because it just gets that emotional.
Excuse me. Y'all know that I'm not the biggest baseball fan in the world, but, I mean, yo, what's up with Ryan Howard? I hate him, though. He don't hit the ball.
Damn. You said I
hate
him.
That's a strong word.
He don't hit the ball.
To me, this is par for the course when playoff time comes.
Uh-oh,
I mean, he started
Willie
out
Garland
with
has called
RBI.
In.
He started out
yo,
with
let's take
Willie
Garland.
Willie
has called.
DJ Willie G, you on the line. What's up, man? Yeah, we was
Yo,
up.
What's up, man? Who y'all talking about? Know it's all my Rays, man.
What happened to your Rays, man?
Man, we weren't even supposed to be there in the first place. That's
what
I'm thinking. That.
Nobody went
Real talk. We lost almost our whole squad doing our free agency.
Isn't that what you were saying before the playoffs started?
Willie, take your loss like a man, fam. No one wants to hear that. When y'all went and you didn't say, man, we made it. We wasn't even supposed to be there. You know what I mean? The bottom line is your Rays didn't do work.
And you had us drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, we didn't do work like we were supposed to. No, we didn't do work like we were supposed to. But, you know, it is what it is.
I picked based on you, Willie. I picked your squad.
No, but seriously, though, the Rays had a great season. They weren't supposed to be there, but you're not supposed to say that after they lose. You got to get all that out while they're still on top of things. You know what I'm saying?
You got to bring that excuse up earlier. I mean, you got to set that excuse up. That's not an excuse you just drop on it. You got to set that one up.
Yo, Willie.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the excuses you set up beforehand.
Willie, you ain't learned from Donovan. You ain't learned from Donovan McNabb. You got to set your excuses up long in advance.
Hey, I didn't read the rule books. I didn't know. Okay.
When Donovan had a bad game, he set that injury up 2 games prior so that he can blame it.
Yeah.
Like
we're going
we
to get you
to be there in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to get you to
make rules. I hope the Cardinals close it out. You know,
why
you were.
You a hater, too?
You got nothing to do with that side of the bracket. Why you hating? We all picked your team and see how you do us. We picked your team to win. And because they didn't believe you,
let me ask you one more question before you go and ask your question. What's up with your Bucks, man? What your Bucks going to do this year?
Man, I don't know what we're going to do. We need to hype up our offense, man. Our offense is real conservative looking.
There you go.
It's not looking good.
You're learning already. You're setting it up. So
you already learned. So you set
in the end in the playoffs when they choke. We're going to be like, yeah, Willie did say a long time ago that they had to, you know, get that offense up. So,
right. Our defensive line, we got a young defensive line, and our corners are really not that great, but they're doing what they're supposed to do. But our offensive tempo is really not great. We got that little dink and dunk offense. We've been doing that for years. And,
yeah,
like, the only time we actually move the ball down the field is like a two-minute offense when we really got to score or something like that. I'm like, open up
you
the playbook the whole.
I got LeGarrette Blunt on my fantasy team, so I know what, you know.
So Jimmy don't really care about not passing the ball.
One thing about it, like, we playing different football than a lot of teams. A lot of teams throwing the ball everywhere. We run first, then throw the ball. We playing that, you know, that old school football. So a lot of people don't too much care for that. You know what I'm saying? I like it.
Whatever you got to do to win.
I'm rooting for Josh Freeman to distinguish himself as the new standard for the African American quarterback.
That may not be the case. He's a half breed, so therefore,
no.
They saw it.
Oh.
So he falls under a whole different category. You know what I'm saying?
Are you saying then that he gets his quarterbacking skills from his maternal side?
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is Cam Newton is our only hope.
Hey, DJ Willie G, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Shout out to Willie G.
Yo, but real, before we get back into football, because he didn't totally switch gears to the joint, I had a question about the Yankee series. And I'm really interested in what's going on over there. They trotted out A.J. Burnett the other day, and all the Yankees fans that I talked to had no faith in that situation. He ended up kind of, you know, standing and delivering a little bit. However, I don't know, you know, if the results would have been the same, you know, had Curtis Granderson not made the plays that he made. And,
God.
I think Curtis Granderson, not even just because of them, but, you know, he should get some attention for the MVP this year because he's had a great year. But if he didn't make the plays he made, I don't know if A.J. Burnett would have escaped like he ended up doing. But my question to you guys is, do you think Detroit blew their chance, you know, since all the pressure was on A.J. Burnett and he was supposed to choke? Do you think Detroit kind of blew their chance against the Yankees' worst starting pitcher? And you think the Yankees just close them out tonight?
See, this is the thing. Like, you don't want to give. It's sort of like a boxer leaving it up to the judges. You don't want to do that.
Right.
You want to close out when you have the advantage. And I think they did have the advantage, and they kind of did blow it. With that being said, who's pitching for the Detroit in this game 5?
The pitchers tonight are, for Detroit, Ivan Nova, and for the Yankees, Doug Fister.
See,
or is that the other way around? I'm sorry.
I know it's short rest, but I would have threw Verlander out there again any damn way. But
you know what?
You know,
Fister is pitching for Detroit, and Nova is pitching for New York. CeCe is available tonight if they need him. The Yankees are taking this approach like it's all hands on deck because, you know, CeCe's pitched on short rest before. But
yeah.
Detroit's skipper has made it clear that Verlander is not
available.
So I'm wondering, like, I mean, Verlander's never come off, you know, he's never come out of the bullpen. He doesn't really pitch on short rest.
It's
kind of like do or die. He should at least be available because it sounds like to me you're just going to look ahead to the next series and you don't even know if you're going to get there yet.
Yo, it's do or die. Like, you got to bring out all the stops, yo. If you got to pitch 18 people, that's what you got to do.
My thing is right now Detroit represents – the interests of most of America, because, you know, most of America wants to see the Yankees go down in flames. So they got to bring my man Verlander out.
I don't believe that to be true, though. I think the Yankees are just like the Cowboys. For as many people who hate them,
they got so many bandwagon fans. We know a bandwagon there in Ohio.
It might be like the NBA split. It might be like 57-43 or something in favor of the Yankees, right? People love the Yankees because the Yankees.
Yeah.
Never mind, I ain't gonna make that statement. I hate saying that, but it's the truth. You know what I'm gonna say, Dad?
I mean, I'm not. I've never been a Yankee detractor. You know, of course, I'm not a fan, but you know, I don't really harbor animosity towards them unless we're playing them. So, You know, yeah. I really wouldn't mind if the Phillies can go ahead and finish out and stop playing around and win their series and are lucky enough to make it back to the World Series. I would like to play the Yankees again. You know, I want to take
what we might see as the easy way out. Since we can't smack Tampa again, we should smack the Yankees.
We kind of hold them.
Yeah.
St. Louis stopped
cheating. So you don't want to take the Bush League. You don't want to take the Bush League way out of it, Dev. You want to stand like a man.
Even though my opinion from the door, like I told y'all last week, I think whoever wins this series between New York and Detroit is going to represent the AL in the World Series. I think both of those teams are just that good. But back to the pitching situation. Like Jimmy said, I think they should have the same kind of approach as the Yankees. I think it should be all hands on deck. Because I'm figuring CC probably won't get used unless the game goes into, like, extra innings. Because, you know, if it's a close game, it's a tie game, they might end up throwing Mariano out there for two innings.
Yeah.
But say after the eighth and ninth, it's still tied, and you need somebody that might be able to go a few just in case the game stays tied, you know, that's probably when they're going to go to CeCe. And, you know, you're a professional pitcher and you're supposed to be the best out there. I'm not really trying to hear all of this not pitching on short rest and this and that.
Yeah, that's pretty
whack
to me.
He needs to be available at least, even if he doesn't
get
to CeCe.
I totally agree. Like, yo, it's do or die. What do you mean he's not going to play unless there's cap up? But that's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, then we got the Game 5 tomorrow with the Diamondbacks and the Brewers. Kind of surprised because from how the series started, I kind of figured the Brewers were just going to end that last night. But just like I think the Tigers, just like the Phillies, you know, I think the Brewers may have jeopardized themselves. I think they might have blown, you know, their chance to get this team out of there that they're supposed to beat. I still think they're going to win because the Brewers are the best team in baseball in their home, you know, on their home diamond. So they still have the upper hand in the series. But, Jimmy, what do you think about the Phillies, man? Are you scared to
do I'm scared with every pitch, though. I think it's just like, you know, growing up in Philadelphia and, like, dealing with the Steve Jelses and Juan Sanuels of the world. I'm scared with every pitch, yo. It's, like, unbearable. And I wish the Cardinals would stop letting out squirrels cheating and whatnot, but
yeah, that squirrel was funny though. That's the way he was running.
That squirrel got a Twitter account. Yo, it was like Bush Squirrel. Twitter is something like Bush Squirrel, and dude got like 12,000 followers last night. But
they may stop cheating.
But yo, I'm scared with every pitch, yo.
So in the Philly series tomorrow, they're gonna trot out their aces. And the story on these guys, they were best friends from the Toronto days. And they said, you know, they share many a late night over a beer discussing baseball and how to pitch to this guy and, you know, thoughts on what to do when your catcher waves you off and all that kind of stuff. So we got Doc Holliday versus his buddy Carpenter. Now, this is what scares me because, you know, for the last 2 years, the Phillies are supposed to be the team to go into the playoffs with the best starting pitching. We went up against the Giants last year, and they outplayed us. Their pitching was just better than our pitching. And I think even in this series so far, you know, with all the fanfare and the accolades that we get for our pitching, I still think that St. Louis has gotten the better pitching in this series. If you look at stuff like pitch count, even when Cole Hamels was on the mound and he didn't really give up runs, he was like over 100 on his pitch count by the end of the sixth inning. So I'm like, okay, it seems like St. Louis, they're just disposing of our batters much quicker than we're disposing of theirs. And we're
supposed to be
the team
and
with the four aces.
Doc Holliday
does that have something to do with Brent personally, because
Brent is a Doc Holliday stan, so he gets blamed personally if he doesn't come through. But I had the same feeling watching the series, like, yo, what's going on? Like, this is supposed to be our strength.
Yeah.
Does this have to do with the quality of the batters that St. Louis is facing versus the quality of the batters that our pitching staff is facing?
From top to bottom, I can't really say. I mean, they have stars in their lineup, too. But from top to bottom, I don't think too many people out there would say that their lineup is stronger than ours.
Yeah, they won't. But I will
our
tell you this.
Fall
Albert Pujols is the best player on the field, though. Like,
oh, yeah, he's
like,
clutch.
Dude is nice.
He's clutch.
He's clutch, and he's just nice, yo. I mean, you got to be nice to turn down $119 million because you think you're getting paid to, like, that's not enough dough.
Right.
You must
right.
be nice.
But you know what
nice.
It is
I'm
with
like,
the Cardinals? Y'all, it seems like for them, somebody new steps up every game. Like, last night, Freeze was the Philly killer. You know, before
yeah,
that, Terrio was balling on us. And the one constant that they have throughout that whole thing is our pool. But on our side of the ball, you know, Ryan Howard had the 6 RBI game one, and I think we left him in Philly. I don't think he showed up since.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's going out like 1-2-3, like quickly. So, you know, that plays into the pitch count thing. Like, you're getting our dudes out fast because Ryan Howard's swinging at anything they throw his way.
Yo, they're like throwing at his face.
Yo, he shoots the tech without aiming.
Basically. And the thing is, I think sometimes he tries to prove to us that he can have patience. So he lets the greatest pitches ever go by.
Yes, he does.
And
yes,
then
he does.
The next one, he's nervous that he's behind an account, so he'll swing at it. Even if you threw it, you could throw the ball to first base trying to stop the runner, trying to hold the runner on base, and he might just swing.
He said he's skewing. He's shooting the tech without aiming, huh?
Yo, he
He's like
Jay Reed
on
a
general
like
direction.
He's like Jay Reed
on
N2D.
Pass me the
UOP. Right.
So real quick.
Let's revisit our prediction since we got 3 game fives here. We got Tigers Yankees tonight, 8:00, right after the show. Game five. Who's gonna take it, Jimmy?
Damn, you ain't call me first.
Well, we know what Austin gonna say. You don't care.
I know what he's gonna say. I'm gonna say the Yankees. I'm gonna take the easy way out and say the Yankees. Do I want the Yankees to win? Hell no. But I'm gonna say the Yankees win this game. I think the Tigers blew their chance.
Austin, what about you?
Yo, hip hop left the Bronx.
Guess that means Tigers gonna win. Did he go to Detroit? Went to Eminem?
Yo, Eminem is nice. Royce Nunn-Nickel is nice. Guilty Simpson is nice. I can keep going, man. Come on.
All right. So I think I'm with Jimmy. I think the Tigers kind of blew their chance. I'm not betting on the game, but you know, predicting is, I guess, that's the next best thing to betting. And I don't like to bet against the Yankees in too many situations. And they're going back home. You know, they have all hands on deck, literally. So they've already told us that they're going to pull out all the stops to try to win this game. Detroit, the only way they can beat this team tonight, in my opinion, is to jump out fast on them. Because, you know, against the Yankees, that doesn't always work. Like, no matter how many runs you're up, by that eighth inning, going into the ninth, that team, even if you have a nice lead, they're going to sweat a little bit before they finally get the win. And that's what happened to Detroit in, what was it, game two? One of those games, they had a nice little lead. But before the game was over, the Yankees had several runners on base, you know, threatening. So it might – I hope that it's that good of a game, at least, you know, since I don't have a reason.
Yeah.
I just hope it's a good game.
Yo, but so, tell me you don't feel the way I feel watching the Phillies game on the edge of your seat, like towards the end of the game when it's close.
Oh, yeah. Every game, man. And then another thing, like Charlie Manuel keeps trotting out Brad Lidge, like he's
– Yo, why
like
they keep putting him out there? Like he's just that ball. Like, come on, man.
Last night, he put him out there against Pujols. He got him out, but come on, man. I take my chances.
So did he to Ricky. Like, why is he trotting him out there like he's a wild thing and whatnot?
I think since they didn't get down to that, you know, the pinch hitter was on deck and we got out, I think I might have even thrown Oswalt out there for one more inning before I trotted Brad Lidge out. But he got what we needed, but I just don't trust that dude anymore, man.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to change his first name. He's not doing any justice. I try not to watch Howard at bats because he's not going to hit the ball.
They be over in like 13 seconds anyway.
Exactly. So I can just come right back after I take a bathroom break. And
that's
on
the thing.
To the
it's just hard to get the Philly stars balling at the same time because now Jimmy's on fire, but Ryan Howard can't buy a hit. So
they tried to throw him out of town earlier. Now he on fire when it counts.
So Diamondbacks Brewers. This game is tomorrow. We're gonna have a fun action-packed Friday night, the night where nobody watches TV. And you got Gallardo versus Ian Kennedy for the Diamondbacks. Who do you think is gonna pull this out?
I'm going with Gallardo. I like that. I like that car.
I'm
going with the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Brewers strictly because of the home field advantage. They don't lose at home.
Wait. Who does Gallardo play for?
The Brewers.
Yeah, see, I'm going with
that. It's probably pronounced like Gallardo or something. I'm probably saying it to.
We call him Gallardo, but yo, all I'm saying
way.
Is
Gallardo.
Yo, the Milwaukee Brewers, yo, is no way Prince Fielder doesn't look anything like he plays baseball. He looks like he sells coke, but they have like more black players on their team than probably any other Brewers team you've ever seen play baseball.
The boy looks like he sells coke.
He just got one of them myself, Coke faces.
We just lost another sponsor.
Oh man, my bad. Shout out to Hank Williams Jr. But yo, I want to see them play. I want to see them play the Phillies, but we have to get by the Cardinals first. And I said going into the playoffs, I was afraid of the Cardinals, and it's for good reason, just because they got the machine on their team. But
It kind of felt good to put out the Braves because they're the division rival, but that would have been the easier series.
Damn, would it have been? I'd have rather played them.
The Cardinals did not come to play, and I am nervous about tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead, and since I already picked the Brewers, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Phillies to win that. But, you hear it in my voice. You hear the Philly fan in my voice. I'm not even really sure if I believe that.
Bottom line is, to the homie Brent Easley, if they lose, we blame you because you're a Doc Holliday stan. And it, you know, we just coming.
He's not going to hear the end of that from me if Doc Holliday loses this game.
Yeah, because he don't think Doc Holliday throws
tomorrow?
One bad pitch. Yeah, I'm definitely
taking
the Phillies. Home
team. Austin, you taking the Phillies?
I'm. Oh, man. How many at-bats Ryan Howard going to have?
Come on, man.
He's stupid,
if
man.
We can limit his
pick, man, then we can move on, man.
Killing my man KRS-One for no reason.
Oh man, I'm going with us, man. I'm going with the Fanatics.
All right, so that's what's up. So let's just go ahead and talk about
Mexican. Yo, first thing I want to talk about. Before we get into any games or any like preview of the upcoming games, I want to know, did you guys see the Reggie White Jerome Brown documentary? Did you guys see the Reggie White Jerome Brown documentary, yo?
Man.
That was must-see TV.
Had the Kleenex on deck. Not that I forgot, because, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. That, you remember the so-called glory days of your childhood. We didn't have that much glory, but it felt good at that time to have a defense – that we had, and Reggie White and Jerome Brown, man, they were like freaks of nature, man. But that documentary just reminded you of how dominant that defense was. And right, real quick, Austin, before you say, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, now, because y'all know I usually don't say anything that sounds any type of homerish, but I believe this for a lot of years. But you know, you can't tell people anything because if it's not popular, then it's not the truth. But in my lifetime, I can't speak about the Purple People Eaters and all that kind of stuff. I think that Eagles defense is the greatest, the most dominant defense I've ever seen. That includes the 85 Bears. That includes the 2000 Ravens. And the reason I say that, I mean, the reason that I think they don't get the props that they deserve is easy, because the team didn't win a Super Bowl.
85 Bears won a championship, and the 2000 Ravens won a championship.
Any semblance of an offense, and that team would have won the championship, I think a lot of people might recognize them as the greatest defense ever. And before people say, well, the Ravens didn't have offense and they won, it was still a different time period. And I pretty much can assure you that the offenses were a little tougher, you know, in 1991 than they were in 2000. And that's just my opinion.
I remember a defining moment in my life. I was watching the Eagles game, and that defense held a team on the goal line to a three and out. And then somebody did something stupid.
Four and out. That was the Cowboys. Yeah.
And somebody did something. I didn't want to mention them the name. Somebody did something stupid, and they got a fresh set of downs, and they didn't score. Come on, eight and out.
Like
it was
eight and out.
They couldn't score in eight tries.
Yo, and for me, this documentary.
They had a Hall of Fame squad.
It brought back a lot of memories. It also, made me realize that Reggie White is probably the greatest Eagle ever.
Yeah.
Like, some people are going to try to bring up Donovan McThrow in the dirt, and I think that's ludicrous.
What?
I don't think he's the best quarterback ever.
Adam's apple.
No, someone's actually told me Donovan McNabb's the greatest Eagle ever. I think that's crazy. But Reggie White is probably the greatest Eagle ever. And it was crazy to see the behind the scenes when he was like, yo, they didn't even offer me a deal, let alone match the money that Green Bay was. They didn't even offer the boy a deal, though. What's up with that?
There was conflicting stories because his wife was saying that she don't remember an offer. But they had Braman on there talking about we offered him, what did he say, like $15 million or something like that.
He was
that.
Like, I can't remember the exact number. That's what made me think like, yeah,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, because even though it was a long time ago, you're a businessman. You know what kind of money
you're
offering.
Yeah. Like, and shout out to Reggie. Reggie was out preaching that, like, you know, on Ridge Ave, like 29th and Ridge. Like,
yeah,
like, come on.
That's something that I learned from the documentary. I didn't know that he did that.
Yeah, because remember what he said? He said he didn't want the camera. He said, I can take you with me, but as long as you don't bring the camera. I mean, that's something else that, you know, Reggie White was a pillar in the community, but he may be
which
the
means,
greatest people ever.
Which means they're only reporting it now because he's dead and he can't say stop. So,
pretty much.
Shout out
to, you know,
Red.
If Donovan was giving it away, he had a camera with him and had the camera there. To, you know, anyway.
Oh, he'd have been like LeBron. He'd have set up an hour special.
Yo, but in terms of Dev, in terms of your argument, I don't know about them being the greatest defense ever. And the only reason I say that, I think they're definitely top three. But I remember that 85 Bears team, and I hate the Bears. I'm not a Bears fan, but I remember people just being, like, completely scared to play them. And, like, they had the intimidation factor along with, like, just being solid at every position. Like, so for me, in my lifetime, it may have been that 85 Bears team, the Eagles maybe two or three. There's definitely those three teams you mentioned, but the 85 Bears, when I think back about that team, like, they had people shook.
Remember them Eagles teams that was, like, one year was number one across the board. No.
You mentioned something I disagree with the 85 Bears, because you said that they were solid all the way across. And I don't really agree with that, because and here's why. The 46 defense was little known fact. The 46 defense was brought about so that Buddy Ryan could hide Doug Plank, because they couldn't leave Doug Plank back in a situation where he'd get in a matchup with a receiver. So he said, we'll bring you up in the box and you can just play linebacker. It worked. It definitely worked.
I remember him at that point playing linebacker, though.
What did you
ask? Hold on real quick, in our chat room, Perry Jr. says that Robinson Cano is done for the playoffs with a torn ACL. The Yankees are in trouble.
Who's
anybody want to change
doing?
Their pick now?
Yo, what was he doing to tear his ACL?
He Batten probably practice? Was laughing listening to the war room. But, If this is true, shout out to Perry Jr. If this is true, then you want to change your pick, Dev?
Damn.
I didn't verify anything, but you know what?
Because Robinson Cano, yeah, he's too big of a piece, because A-Rod and Tex aren't really, unless they step up, because they haven't been doing much. See, that's the thing about their lineup is so deep. You lose somebody. If somebody else just steps up and plays like they can play, then they'll be all right. But I don't know. That's still crazy. I'm gonna go ahead and keep the pick as it is. But I'm setting mine up like Willie G. If they lose, it's because of it's because of Robinson Cano, yo.
Yeah, I didn't hear this, but
go ahead to the next topic. I'll check on it.
Yeah, check on that. More football. Let's talk more football. But to your point, Austin, though, I just remember him playing linebacker. That may be true, what you say. But to me,
Doug Plank, was a, Doug,
Doug Plank was a 205-pound safety, and they just played with one safety back and two corners.
Yeah, my question to you is, so do you have the Eagles as being the greatest ever as well? I mean, being objective, if you can be.
Being objective, I can't be, so I can't answer
okay.
that.
Okay, well, let's just leave it alone then.
All right, well, let's just move on.
Now, let's talk about you guys' favorite player who I'm trying not to talk about.
Getting your Danny Earle on now. He's far from my favorite player.
Yeah, I am. I drew by saying that. I did it on purpose, too. But I try not to say anything about this man because I dislike everything he stands for. But Brett Favre commented about Aaron Rodgers. I want to know, do you guys think it was a genuine comment or backhanded? At this point, everybody's heard the comment about he's just surprised it didn't happen.
Anybody out there hadn't heard him.
Yeah, you want to go over where you can.
Favre said on Atlanta 790 The Zone, he said, "I'm going to be honest. I was not speaking of Rodgers and the Packers winning the Super Bowl. I'm going to be honest. I was not surprised. The biggest surprise to me would be that he didn't do it sooner." Talking about Aaron Rodgers, he goes on to say he's very bright and he got a chance to watch and see successful teams do it right. He said of Rodgers, and so he just kind of fell into a good situation. On top of that, he's a good player. I don't think there's any pressure on him now. Talent around him is even better than when I was there. So, Austin, you think that's genuine or you think that's backhanded? I couldn't find that whole thing, and I was about to say that, but Perry said that he was joking anyway. So he got us like T.O. got like he got Stephen A. Smith yesterday.
Yeah.
We playing with it like that, Perry. We be we depend on our chat room to give us news that we can't see right now, man. I'm throwing that.
But go ahead, Austin, answer the question about Brett Favre.
In reading that, I can only take it at face value. He gave the man his propers. He acknowledged the talent. He acknowledged both the talent at the quarterback position and he acknowledged the talent of the team, and I think that in Green Bay's case, well, I do think that Aaron Rodgers is a top three quarterback in the league right now. I also think that they're a top three talent-wise team if you go position by position. So I think that Favre just acknowledged that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me go next. Let me go next, Jim, but let me add this to it, too. He said Aaron had a chance, even though the last couple of years it seemed like he's almost a rookie, he's been around a while. And I like to think that he watched, he learned, and then when he got a chance to play, he brought in his ability, which is obviously very good, or they wouldn't have drafted him in the first round. So, Austin, you say you kind of take him at face value?
Yeah, I mean, he's giving him – I mean, I guess we're expecting – we've become so conditioned as a society for Richard Riding and Willie Eaton that we expect that if something's not done in a Richard Riding way or a Willie Eating way and it's happy-go-lucky and done like John Gruden, that the person has some ulterior motive or he's being backhanded. You know, we expect this. So I think he just paid him a compliment.
Come on, Austin, stop it. Just stop it, man. Stop it, Austin.
I hear what you're saying, and my opinion on the whole thing is that Favre is hating like a motherfucker. I ain't trying to give him face value on nothing. Those comments to me seem backhanded in a mug, yo. Seriously. And I didn't even bring this up on the page earlier when we were arguing. Because that's what Danny Earls, his post was originally about this, but we got off into the whole Favre being great argument. So I never even got to speak on this. Yo, it sounds to me he's basically – they're backhanded compliments. Yeah, he did acknowledge that he's good. He acknowledged that the team is good, but it kind of sounds like to me that he's saying, well, you know, with the team that I left him with, he probably should have done it earlier. You know, what took him so long? And he actually did say that. He said, "I'm kind of really surprised it took him so long. In the early part of last season, it hadn't quite clicked yet, and I didn't know it would. I just kind of figured when they hit their stride, they're going to be hard to beat, and that's what happened." But he's saying how he sat and he watched and he learned from all accounts, and Favre never denied this. He never helped Aaron Rodgers a damn bit while he was in Green Bay.
Not at all.
All of a sudden he's trying to take credit. Yeah, he sat back and he watched. And plus, you know, we left him with such a good team. How is he not going to win the Super Bowl? You know, he's talented.
Why didn't he win with that team then? I'm sorry.
I think it's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think it's a little backhanded, you know what I'm saying? I'm separating this from my whole far argument of him being great, but this seemed like he kind of hating to me.
They were definitely backhanded comments, and I'm going to comment on this without bringing up the fact that I think Favre is the most overrated athlete ever to lace him up. But I'm going to talk about just this comment. He was definitely hating because, from all accounts, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like Brett Favre for the simple fact that Aaron Rodgers came to him when he was a rookie, like, I want you to teach me. And Brett's comment supposedly was, why would I teach someone to take my job? So he says this to him, so... from what I hear from the media in Green Bay, they say that Aaron Rodgers is one of these guys who, like, holds grudges, and he gets motivated by certain things. Like, he's still being motivated by the fact that he wasn't picked to the 20, whatever pick he was picked. They said that Aaron Rodgers walks around right now still mad at the fact that the Falcons didn't give them enough respect after they whooped them last year. Like, he's one of these, like, I don't want to compare him to Michael Jordan, but you know how Michael Jordan had these things where he just be motivated by, like,
made
smallest
up, like,
things.
Motivating.
Yeah, and they said that Aaron Rodgers has that in his DNA, which is probably why he's, like, the best quarterback in the league at this point. But
what you
was
say about my
backhand.
Mama?
And that's what you know.
He
won the championship already, and he still do the belt every time he scores.
Still does. Like, he still plays. Like, he got something to prove. And the thing about it is, he doesn't like Favre for it. So Favre to say it is definitely a smack in the face. And he's talking about this great team. Why didn't you win the championship with that team then? If that's the case, if they were so great. And not only that. It's like, if you compare their first 3 years, he's far and away better than you at this point for the first 3 years as a starter. And another thing, I heard Kurt Warner mention this. Kurt Warner said that he was taken back by the statement because Favre made it seem as though winning a championship is that easy. Like, I'm surprised he didn't do it sooner. And, you know, these are Kurt Warner's words. He said that it takes so much for a team to win a championship. So many things have to go right. So for Favre to say that, it's like, you know, he said, Favre's saying this, and he's only won one championship in 20 years. So what does he mean he didn't do it sooner? Like, Aaron Rodgers has already surpassed what Brett Favre has done. So FOH to Brett Favre, he definitely was hating. And, you know, this made me actually root for Aaron Rodgers more because he dislikes Favre, so he's on my team.
I was already a Rodgers fan, so I didn't need extra motivation. But,
I don't take him too.
Yeah. Oh, it's a joy and a pleasure to watch him play, but this is the fact of the matter. He definitely was hating. He likes attention, and he just needs to go away.
Go that away.
To me,
yeah,
go that away. One being great doesn't make the other not great. So, you know, that's just my point.
Oh, I'm not saying that one thing that has anything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he surpassed what he's done. There's different levels of greatness as well. But at the same time, I just think that it definitely was hating.
Oh, so you are acknowledging greatness. Okay.
Huh? I'm not saying he was great either, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about greatness. I'm just saying Aaron Rodgers has surpassed what he's done. I never said, I won't give Favre credit for anything. I don't even give him credit for the Iron Man streak. He cheated with that too. But anyway,
I'm an Aaron Rodgers stan, but I ain't going to say he surpassed what Brett Favre has done in 4 years. But,
at the end of the day, they won the same amount of championships. Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, I'll leave it alone because I'm not going to speak on Favre anymore. I told myself I'm going to stop that, but he won't go away, so neither will I. Next story I want to talk about is Deion Sanders ripping Tony Romo.
I got them comments.
So what do you guys think about this? Like you know, you try to defend Romo, but every time you try to defend him, then, you know.
Well, just in case people didn't hear, hold up, Austin. He said, I don't understand this guy. Just when you want to believe in him, heroic effort, came back against San Francisco. They said punctured lung and everything, and we praised him. We said, yeah, he's that leader. He's their guy. And then you come and do this. What are you thinking? So, you know, he says, sooner or later, we just got to quit guessing and assuming that this guy is the guy to get you over the hump. This guy is always going to be great statistically, but he's not the guy that could take you where you want to go, and that's the Super Bowl. You got it.
Austin, your turn.
Well, what I was going to say is that having grown up in the 80s and the 90s, we hold Deion Primetime, Deion Sanders, very, very high esteem for what he's done on the field. But I have a problem with him emasculating himself on national TV in these commercials, flying around in a fairy suit. And we left it alone because of our respect for Deion, but I wouldn't be me, B. Austin, the hot block commander, shooting shots up close and from afar. if I didn't mention the fact that the man is flying around in DirecTV commercials in a fairy suit. All right, now on to the comments. I mean, he's right. I think that too much gets placed on Romo's, Tony Romo's shoulders when it's a 53-man roster and 22 starters. So, you know, he is culpable in it, but it's like when it goes wrong, it's all Romo's fault. If the D isn't playing well, it's all on Romo. But if it goes right, it's all on. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't subscribe to that quite yet. I think that he's one of the quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, but the game, like this particular game, is kind of like he threw interceptions at like some of the worst possible moments. And you know, I kind of defend Tony Romo myself, but you know, I mean, I don't like this, you know, jump on, jump off, he's your king one week, this week he's a bum type stuff. But just from the criticism that he's receiving from this game, you know, he did throw some costly and some, you know, some timely for the Lions interceptions. And, you know, you can kind of see where people are frustrated, you know, if this indeed goes on all the time. But I don't think all the time, like you just said, it's his fault. But this is one of those games where the criticism is probably warranted, because it would be unfair for us to even say that it isn't, because when your boy in Philly used to throw those costly and interceptions at the wrong time, we damn sure blame the whole thing on him. So.
Well, I don't even like to call them costly. I like to call them farce. He threw a couple farce this weekend that were, like, inexcusable, like, where I guess he thought he was a gunslinger, and, you know, that is his idol. But with that being said, it's kind of crazy because you try to give this guy the benefit of the doubt because you see that he has the talent. But,
yeah,
you know, at crucial times, he just does stuff, and you're like, how can I even defend that? Like, the funniest thing is during the game, I was on Twitter, and somebody said, they think that Tony Romo is an Indian the way he keeps killing the Cowboys. And,
damn.
You know, it's like you see that, like, yo, the game was over. Like, what is he doing? And he's like throwing these passes, and he's like, yo, what are you doing? It's inexcusable.
Let me ask this question. The Cowboys were up much at their greatest margin in that game.
20. Were they up 20?
They were up 20, yeah.
And what quarter was that?
I don't know.
Third, maybe second. It's the third quarter, I believe. But he threw two.
Third,
like, what?
Okay.
Two of them were pick sixes, right?
Yeah.
Two of them were.
The offense didn't even have to get on the field.
Offense didn't get on the field. He threw one, which
pick
was like,
sixes
totally,
take no time off
totally
the clock. That's why I say, like, very bad interceptions are, you know, if you throw two pick sixes, you know, their offense never has to come on the field. No time is coming off the clock, and they've already made up for it.
And what do you do to your defense when they watch the team? They're watching the other team score, and they're on the bench because of you. You threw.
Yeah.
I mean, in the words of my man, Bashir 28, that was malarkey, man. It was just malarkey. Like, the pass was inexcusable, Austin. Like, I don't know if you saw the play, but you can't take up for that, man.
The one play I saw. To the line, the pick by the linebacker was horrendous, terrible decision. The other play was one of those where you throw the ball and you hope the receiver wants it more than the DB wants it. Because in the NFL,
kind of like Stafford did twice at the end?
Yeah, well, yeah,
exactly. He's throwing to a manimal. He's throwing to something that's alien. Like,
yeah, he's throwing to the Predator. I mean,
he's throwing to a,
like,
Decepticon, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, why make that pass? And it's like the one thing
because
that bothers me is football is situational.
That's a pass you have to make in the NFL, and that's the reason that you aren't a Kyle Orton fan, because when it comes down to it, the arm strength isn't there to make those type of throws. And that's the difference between when we watch.
But you
Tony
don't
Romo
have
included,
to make that pass
Drew
at that
Brees.
Time, Austin. It's all about situation. You may have to make that pass in the course of a game, but not when you're dominating the other team. Why even put your team in position where you're letting – it's like you're giving them momentum. Why make that pass then? It's the wrong time to do that.
what I saw was a simple crossing route. I didn't see it wasn't like he was throwing in between defenders or fitting it into a space. It was, I'm throwing him open, he's coming across, the DB came from the other side of the receiver's body to take the ball away. Mm-hmm. That's on the receiver. You're not fitting it in between two people for the reception.
But what I'm saying is that his first read or second read. This is not a smart play to make at that time when you're already, the momentum is starting to shift. Why even do that? Why, you know, you can play a check down at that point if that's what you know, but it's like, it was a stupid play. He keeps making stupid plays at the wrong time. Like, he
I don't want to defend Tony Romo. He's a Cowboy. I hate him. I don't want him to ever win another game, so I was happy with Detroit. Bottom line.
I mean, the next thing, and to keep with this story, you know, Chris Cooley has some comments about Tony Romo.
Oh, man.
He said it's amazing. Oh, it's amazing to watch him choke like that. So there's no way Detroit is going to drive on you that many times. The only way you're going to give up that many points is turnovers. He said it was hilarious to watch him throw pick sixes. He said I loved it. Any comments on this, you guys?
Hey, let's group that in with what's the name's comments? Tim Hightower and his comments where he said, you know, he's looking forward to the reporters interviewing him in February. Basically saying the Redskins are going to win the NFC and represent in the Super Bowl. So he's going to make this couple minutes just a Redskins spouting off session. So go ahead, Austin. What do you think about both of those comments? What do you think about the Redskins? First, it was Rex Grossman before the season saying they were going to win the NFC East. Now that they're at 3-1.
I'm not mad. The only person I'm not mad at is Rex Grossman in that, because if you'd asked me in the same situation, I'd have done the same thing. What is he supposed to say in that situation?
Yeah, that was before the season started.
I don't mind his confidence, man. I don't mind. Now, your man Chris Cooley, who got his spot jacked and who was guilty of sending nude pictures during the offseason 2 years ago in training camp, he needs to keep his mouth shut. He doesn't start anymore. Tim Hightower.
That's not true. They just run a lot of double tight end set.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, if you want to be honest, the only person spots in jeopardy is Rex Grossman. You like his confidence.
But here's the thing, they're three and one, and
they're still clamoring for Rex Grossman to go to the bench. But I feel what you're saying, because he said what he said before the season started. He didn't wait until they became 3-1 and start beating on his chest. And as far as Cooley goes, like, didn't the same quarterback, didn't they just beat y'all, like, last week?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. Before y'all go on Cooley, he released a blog. I was reading his personal blog. And he released, which is very entertaining, by the way.
It's definitely very entertaining.
But what he said was, he said, look, I have a wrestling background. I was joking, and I thought it was funny. He said, but also, to be honest, in a league full of glad handling and ass slapping between competing teams, I actually care about the organization and the fan base that has supported me throughout my 8-year career. While I feel an honest respect for all NFL players, I show no remorse in cheering against another team, especially the Cowboys. If it sounded like I was delighted by Tony Romo's failure last week, I was. Though I have no personal vendetta towards Romo, my feelings for him had nothing to do with me reveling in a divisional foe, blowing the biggest second-half lead in the history of his franchise. He said, I'm not one of these guys who's going to root for an opposing team because it's the right thing to do.
See, that all sounds good, and I agree with him. There's a lot of, you know, gut slap, whatever he said, whatever term
he said. Glad handling and ass slapping between competing teams.
It is too much of that in the league, but he still seems to be getting his defensive back on. He still seems to be backpedaling, because you weren't just rooting against the Cowboys. It wouldn't even be a story if that was the case. You pointed this dude out. You basically called him a choke artist, which is, I mean, if you're going to do it, do it. You know, don't put this statement out later on because people are telling you. Because I'm not saying that anything's wrong with it. Because
he goes on in the statement to kill him. He's still killing him. I like when people speak their mind.
I like when people speak their mind. My only thing is, it just seems like there's a lot of Redskins spouting off. They're 3-1. They've beaten one quality opponent. You know, they were in trouble late against a Rams team who can't get out of their own way. And it's just, you know, the fans are clamoring for the quarterback to shut down. They're not the greatest 3-1 out there. I give them props for being that. But y'all ain't won a division. Y'all won the division once in the last 20 years. Like, all the spouting off, like, go that away.
This is what comes when you start winning. Like, the thing about it is, when you win, I mean, regardless of how you look and what happens, you could talk jizz. I mean, that's what it is. When you win, you get to talk like this. In terms of like his blog, he goes in on him again. He's not like backtracking. He's still sending shots at him on his John, like, you know. But it's a long blog. I'm gonna read the whole thing. He's still sending shots at him. You know, but anyway, what I was saying is, like, when you win, that's what it I mean, the Patriots, right? Think about it. They won 3 chips, and they ain't, like, really killed nobody. They was just barely winning, too. But the thing is, when you win.
Jim. They won 3 chips. The Redskins won three games.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, when you argue
the first time,
it's a big difference. But a lot of times when you argue sports people, they don't even care about who won the last championships. It's about what have you done for me lately.
Jim.
Yeah, but what have they done for me lately? They won 3 games. It's week 4.
They won 3. They 3-1.
By week 7, they would have come back to earth.
We got a large Washington listenership and fan base, and we are members of the media. We have to be responsible with the things we say. By you comparing the Redskins,
but you didn't listen to my
Patriots,
full statement. I'm not comparing it to the Patriots.
Now they're going
to
take your words and put them on the 4 letters, or Comcast or Doc Walker.
They can do that. But at the end of the day, listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when you win, you can do certain things. The Patriots have won 3 championships. They haven't won any championship. When it comes to sports, people don't care about who won the championship last year anyway. All they care about is what's going on right now. People don't. When you argue sports, they don't
care
about that.
You know what? That's how it's been in the time I spent in D.C. from the fans, but the fans aren't even excited like that about this 3-1. This is the most level-headed I've seen Washington fans in the 15 years that I've been –
That may be true. But what I'm talking about is right now they're 3-1.
The fans kind of learned their lesson, but now the team's spouting off.
In week 13, if they're 3-10, then that's when you're like, yo, shut up. But my thing is, like, yo, if you win, you know, it is what it is. You can talk your trash. I don't have a problem with you talking trash if you're winning. I don't care how you win. Mm.
I just don't call 3 games winning.
I mean, as of right now, they're 3-1.
We're gonna come back down to earth. Buffalo ain't going to the playoffs.
No, I get all that, but when it happens, that's when you kill them. But right now, Buffalo, you know, is a winning team.
I'm gonna kill them. I'm gonna kill them now, so later on I can say I told you so. I'm setting mine up. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm setting mine up now.
That may be the case.
I feel as though I have enough acumen in this sports thing to read through the smoke and mirrors. So I'm going to tell people exactly what their teams are. And then when we get to January, I'm going to say, I told you so. Just like I expect money from everybody who roots for Donovan over the last decade. Give me money. I told you what
big money.
Let me ask you a question, though. I mean,
what can they say to me?
Right now,
I don't go around bragging about the Eagles, no matter what they do.
As of right now, looking at their team, how do you think the Redskins will finish the season? And I don't care less. I just want to see what you think.
I'll give them 9-7.
9-7. Is that what you say?
8-8.
He said 8-8. That may be the case. But it is. Anyway,
even though they have, you know, by the percentage of who they got to play, they have the second easiest remaining schedule in the league. So if they can take advantage of that, but who are they?
I still give them 8-8
because of that schedule, and then also because of coaching. 9-7 because of
schedule. The schedule goes on. The records, the current records of the people that they're playing. So I still
that takes the Eagles being 1-3. So look at the Eagles being 1-3. So I understand what you're saying.
I don't think. Yeah, exactly. They take them being 1-3. If they can turn on the switch and play like they're supposed to play, that could possibly, you know, be 2 losses. I'm not saying that because, you know, I don't take the homer approach with the Eagles, but, you know.
Yo,
a lot of stuff upside down in the league.
Where do you see your Broncos being?
Well, wow. Where do I see it being? Right now, we're at the same record as the Eagles, though. Anyway, right now we stand. But you know, hopefully we get Andrew Luck. Say, no, you stop. Who knows? It depends upon whether the coach gives Tebow a chance to play. Because all the Kyle Orton lovers, none of them are saying anything to me now when I told them that he shouldn't be playing. he's not going to do anything for us. So why even keep the charade up? Like, we're not winning a championship, so let's see what we have and then move forward. Speaking of that game, Aaron Rodgers just went, like, with noodles on us, and, like, he dominated the game. He was running in touchdowns. He was throwing
passes,
like,
six total touchdowns.
Like,
I ain't going to be, you know, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but how come you're not hearing about that? When Vic scored six touchdowns against Washington last year, it was the greatest performance in NFL history.
Because 18 months before that, Aaron Rodgers wasn't doing a bit.
True. So I guess it's a better story, but the, you know, watching this dude play, man, with the pinpoint accuracy.
It's a joy and a pleasure.
Yo.
Yeah, and he's like Washington. He's like what they call, I heard somebody refer to him as like a power thrower, because he throws the ball like really hard, but his accuracy isn't commensurate with a power thrower. But he basically just puts the ball on dudes. It's crazy.
Dude.
He had 408 yards, 29 for 38, 408, four touchdowns, one pick, and two rushing touchdowns.
I'm gonna say this, man, for real, like watching him, now I still give Brady and Manning the title. And Drew Brees is right there. But as far as talent, skill, and athleticism combined, yo, he I've never seen. Man, listen.
I'm telling you, I'm hearing a lot of sentiment like that. I was listening to Greg Cosell from NFL Films today, and he was saying something like, when somebody else said it last week, everybody was saying that he was crazy. But I think what these guys are they're not trying to say he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
What they are trying to say is he may have the greatest set
skills,
attributes.
Oh,
his skill set may be the greatest that they've ever seen.
What can he do?
And
I mean, this may be true because I was thinking about it. Before Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not even trying to, like, have any bias, but to me, John Elway had the greatest skill set. But I mean,
might
be
true. No, no doubt.
The mobility, arm, and all that. But Aaron Rodgers is a far more accurate passer than John Elway. Like
Aaron
Rodgers,
he doesn't wait.
He was threading the needle like 30 yards
dude,
downfield. I'm like, yo, who does that?
Listen, when
he doesn't
was
waste,
the dude
he doesn't
play,
waste throwing motion. His throwing
when
motion
I was
really
watching
like
the
short.
Dude play, it was like it reminded me of the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Jersey Generals. Yo, dude was out there throwing it in between. I see him coming.
And here's what's crazy about it. And it's sort of like what I was saying earlier. He understands, like, situations. Like, he'll throw the ball away. He doesn't try to force anything like his, you know, the guy that came before him. He doesn't do that. Like, he's very efficient, and he's very talented. I mean, that's why right now, you know, as much love as I got for Brady, I'm like, yo, this dude right here, he's something else. He has a particular set of skills that allow him to dominate the NFL, yo.
Yeah, like I said, from the power throwing to the pinpoint accuracy, to his throwing motion, he doesn't have a lot of wind-up. He just darts it at you.
That's what I'm saying.
He can get out. He can get on his horse, too.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, let
yeah.
me ask you guys a question. Mark Sanchez, or as Ray Lewis calls him, Mar Sanchez. Is he a bum? The thing is, he's still a young quarterback. Let's not forget that the guy's like, what, 24? So, you know, but it seems like he's older because of his experience in the league. But what do you guys think about him and his future moving forward? Because he was horrible against the Ravens. And then, I mean, it's the Ravens, but still.
He's just not that guy to me that they want him to be. Man. He's just not that guy.
You don't think so? You don't think that, like, because at the end of the day, he's been thrown into a situation where they have to compete right now. And,
right.
you know, he's not having a chance to grow.
The situation isn't great for
a
young quarterback.
He's got a lot of tools offensively, and at this stage of the game, this is his third season, right?
Yeah, three seasons.
He's got a lot of tools at his disposal. I'm not saying the very, very, very best receiving core, but they're up there. They're in the top ten.
He has a very good one.
Yeah, he's got a very good receiving core. Then he's got behind him a Hall of Famer who, if you manage his carries, LaDainian Tomlinson for 15 to 18 touches a game.
You still talking dominate. About the Danian Tomlinson, man? He does not start
He's done, man.
Anymore, man. You
stay here. Austin has favorite players he refuses to keep for him, man.
Danian Tomlinson is not a factor over there anymore.
Yo, what are you doing, man? Yo, well, Austin likes a player because he will never give up on him, yo.
Dude is not getting 18 touches a game, man. It's over.
Yo, but you don't get 18 touches
love,
a month.
I love Danian too, man, but it's over, cuz.
Yo,
hey,
but
nah,
all I'm saying is this. With his age, do you think there's a chance for him to ever turn it around? Because he's been thrown into a situation where he had to compete right away. He's still young. But I guess you guys are both saying no. You think that he just doesn't have it?
I don't think he has it, man. Not that big. You know, he's in New York. Pressure's going to be crazy. I just don't think he's that type of dude. Even when they had the Hard Knocks series last year, you know, he was a real pouty dude, you know, and
yeah.
That's not how you need to be over there. I mean, he's taking advantage of all the stardom that being a quarterback in New York, you know, entails. But
so basically, all these USC quarterbacks are overrated, like Carson Palmer and Matt Barkley.
I mean, I thought Carson was that dude until he got hurt, and then he just, yeah, I don't know, he forgot how to play.
Time is getting short, but what do you guys think about the Dream Team? Well, Victor, we can't call him that no morning. Do you think that they can turn it around and finish the season out strong or what? I know it's only week
first
four,
of all,
but you guys.
First of all, I'm upset he had to say that. Like, did you accept that moniker anyway? Like, you should have been slapping that off from the door. Now, you know,
probably got tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
I got tired of hearing it.
Well, they're not going to stop hearing it now. You let the backup quarterback go out there and make a fool of the whole city.
Shout out to Vince.
Now we
got
to live with that.
Drawing attention when he don't even play.
The 20-point lead that they blew to the 49ers was deplorable. When the Niners got the ball back with a little bit of time left, I knew. I turned to everybody. Austin was in the room with me. I said, we are going to lose this game by 1 point. Because, you know, the defense can't stop anybody. And even when they had a chance to get the ball back, you know, they couldn't stop Frank Gore, who wasn't even supposed to play that day. They couldn't stop him from getting first down.
Yo,
the thing
Acres,
is, I heard that
yeah.
they are going to tinker
his,
with that wide nine. So they may back up off that wide nine a little bit, which I think will improve the defense a little bit. They got to play, man. It's a one-game-at-a-time approach now. They can't be looking towards the whole Super Bowl or bust thing because they got to get back on track. I think they're good enough to be able to do that, but they got to stop blowing leads, and that's coaching, that's playing. There's not a lot of fans holding the players accountable. You know,
yeah.
they're out there missing
tackles. It's always blaming Andy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question, though.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't let me answer the first one because I got it for
go
you.
Ahead,
go
ahead. You got to hurry up. We're running out of time. Go ahead. Be faster.
Austin's just going to take us to the music with this one. Go ahead.
Yo, Gore came in the game, wasn't supposed to play, and then said, I got you're my son, you're my son, you're my grandkid, and you're my stepson, and then proceeded to rattle off 100 and some odd yards against us. All right, go ahead.
All I want to know is real quick, you guys can tell me this. Is Nambi being exposed? Because he's been getting, you know, his ass bust. No homo, bro. Like,
no.
Over the last, he's not?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking. Because
no.
I was in the
I do think he's playing bad, but what I also think is happening is he does not know the system, and he has never in his life in the NFL played in a zone. And we do run
yeah.
we run a mix of zone and man, and so he's
okay.
out of position. He's out of position 60% of the time. So what needs
so
to happen?
So it's just a matter. It's just a matter of him learning how to play zone, basically.
Learning the system.
My opinion
what
on,
we need,
on
what we, what,
what's your opinion,
what
Dad?
My opinion on Nnamdi. No, I don't think he's a bust, but I can sum it up with one sentence. He's no Revis.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Victor Cruz straight took his manhood, just jumped up and said, yo, give me that, yo.
Speaking of him, that was messed up because the Cardinals should have won that game. I'm mad that we're out of time because I did want to get into that and the whole rule book thing because what he even said after the game shows you that he wasn't, quote-unquote, giving himself up. He said he thought he was touched. That should have been Cardinals ball, and the Giants shouldn't have never got that chance. But they got it. It puts two teams on the top of the division at 3-1, and the Dream Team really has to get their stuff together. So I could
absolutely
talk trash to Redskins fans in about 6 weeks.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the war room this evening. Special shout-out to everyone who called in, chatted, Facebook, and tweeted during tonight's show. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another edition of your favorite show. We'll be giving you the real as only we can do it. So, guys, have a great weekend. Yankees Tigers Game 5 is next. And until next week, everybody,
wow. Life, I wonder, will it take me under? Smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I ruled the world,
imagine that.
I free all my stars. I love baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I ruled the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time. Nowhere to be, paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range, cast, lost tribes are bad. Free at last, brand new whips to crash. Then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do. Trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies, history's told foul. But I'm as wise as the old owl, plus the gold child. Seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoners set free, stress free, no work release. Purple M3s and jet skis, feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I think Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It's down foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my stars. I love them, baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I
living worry, duck down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for pace. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight, trying to get late. Flip the A's, stack the safe, millionaire plan to keep the gap with the cock camera. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the 245 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my
times.
If I